Hi, Brandon from Adobe. Here on the Global Growth Podcast, live broadcasting from Silicon Slopes Tech Summit. So tell me why you're here.
I'm here because I think it's a great opportunity to network with other tech leaders in this region and kind of invest in the growth of this area.
That's fantastic. Tell me what you do.
I'm a product manager on the mobile team at Adobe.
Oh, awesome.
So we've got customers, enterprise customers around the globe that have mobile apps and they want to use our enterprise software, the Experience Cloud. And so we have an SDK that powers the Experience Cloud in their mobile apps.
That's incredible. So you are very familiar with taking products globally. Your software is everywhere around the world. So how did what role does localization and translation play with Adobe?
Localization is really important as we build our brand more dramatically in other countries outside of kind of tier one countries for them to be able to use our products. So that's we don't offer localization solutions to our customers, but in order for them to use our products, they need to be able to understand what they're doing, right? To be able to use the products.
And I've recognized Adobe for a long time being a leader in the conversation of making sure your content and your images apply to all different cultures. How does culture play a role in what you guys do at Adobe?
I think it's super important because if we all have the same culture, I guess what is important about culture is the diversity of culture. And if we all have the same culture, then images and on the creative side of the house would be boring because everybody would be doing kind of thinking the same way, the same paradigm. But it's beautiful and exciting and consumable for me as a consumer when I see other ways people think about different things, and I can kind of put myself in their shoes and I can experience that.
That's phenomenal. Well, anything on the horizon about what you're doing right now that people should be on watch for? And you're talking mobile is where everybody's face is on right now.
So obviously I'm passionate about mobile, but I think just the message of the Experience Cloud resonates with enterprise clients that they want an end-to-end solution to help them gain insights, target audiences, and create experiences for their consumers in a better way that helps people throughout their lives.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks, Brandon, for sharing that. Yeah. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks.
It's been awesome. Great conversations here at the Global Growth Podcast, Silicon Slopes Tech Summit, networking, finding solutions. Check out Adobe. Thanks for coming by.
Well done.
So actually,
all right, we're here at Global Tech Summit talking to different business leaders about their futures and helping them achieve that global growth strategy. With me, I'm now going to talk to our passionate business leader of operations. At in what language? Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
How are you today, Maurice?
Fantastic. Really busy, really exciting to be at Silicon Slopes.
That sounds great.
You got him again.
Tell me what you're doing here at Silicon Slopes.
Well, obviously, we're representing in what language, right?
Yes.
Actually, a company, our services in the translation industry. So, obviously, we want to try to see where we can be of service to the Utah market, and of course, to the high-tech companies that have been relocating here over the last few years. It's expanding weekly, monthly into our space. Localization is, of course, using change the way we translate is a huge opportunity for businesses to go global to expand their market presence and the market share. So obviously, where we try to be of service.
That's great. We've got some excited people behind you, so
I think that's exactly what we're going to do.
You didn't know that.
So if you heard that big conversation, that's why we're live at Silicon Slopes Tech Summit. You know, one thing I'm curious about, Maurice, in what language you see all the different types of projects that people are requesting for translation and localization services. What types of content do people, does in what language specialize in?
Well, we definitely handle a lot of different types of original content, as I'll call it. Obviously, we deal with documentation, we deal with software items, UIs, knowledge bases, e-learning components, medical content, legal IP marketing. There is no restrictive item as to what we can handle. But obviously here at Silicon Slope, where we really focus on tech, you know, I'm having a large number of conversations with companies who are in need to have their software localized. In other words, taking their platform that is primarily developed in English into the foreign languages. And that poses some pretty interesting challenges for them. And so trying to help them out with that content and getting that into foreign languages, their strings, right, their phrases, their words, so to speak, is really quite essential to do for them.
So part of that, you know, there's a lot of startups, visionaries, future unicorns here at the summit. What advice do you have of a startup on how they should be thinking about localization and translation?
The biggest thing is you can never start thinking about translation early enough. Sometimes what happens, you know, a startup gets going, they need a product, they bootstrap it, and they get something, of course, you know, developed and out in the marketplace, and haven't really thought about potentially a long-term strategy of where this product could go globally. And then you have to kind of backtrack a little bit because they haven't thought about language expansion. A foreign language expands compared to English terms or English words. It becomes longer. So if they just limit their strings, for instance, to a certain number of characters, they get kind of caught up in that. And then they have to kind of take a step back and they have to redesign their software in order to accommodate the foreign language expansion. For instance, that's just one aspect. So you cannot think of localization early enough. A very strong strategy in developing language integration early on is absolutely key to success.
So you manage a large supply chain of linguists
absolutely.
All over the world.
Yeah.
And how many languages are you translating content into, in what language?
We have the capability to service over upwards of 200 languages.
Wow.
Obviously, not everybody does that. I would say that most companies will focus on a core set of languages that can amount to upwards to 40 to 60. But we have the capability of going quite evasive, quite large.
What is in highest demand? I mean, hear from clients. I mean, you work with clients all over the world. But what is the number, the top languages that people are translating from English into?
Sure, I'll mention the regions because as identifying the regions, most people identify the languages. Of course, Central Europe, Eastern Europe, Scandinavia, South America, Asia. Those are the primary areas where you know where people will want to expand their first markets. However, we do see a pretty significant trend over the last couple of years of an expansion into Africa, which of course really becomes can be very challenging because now you're dealing with established languages, but also more informal languages, dialects, and down to even tribal areas that have their own specific language requirements.
Yeah, emerging markets. So
emerging
India,
markets.
Africa. I mean, there's a lot of people think that there may be, you know, a select number of languages, but a lot of these, even in the same tribal units and different groups areas, geographies, there could be 40, 50 different languages spoken.
Absolutely.
And dialects.
Yeah, India is a great example. Indonesia.
Yeah.
Those areas are very very many languages that they feature.
So that is quite complex. So you guys are experts in handling complex translation localization projects?
Absolutely. Otherwise, we would not be in this space. I mean, that is what we do. That's our forte. That's our niche. So that's what we do.
So how did you get started in localization and translation?
Well, you're taking me back quite a few years of my career here. I've been going since 1993.
Wow.
Ironically, I started dabbling with, well, I've always done languages. I'm originally from the Netherlands. I'm Dutch born, so my native language is Dutch, and then my parents at a very young age moved to French-speaking Belgium, so then I added that language to my to my repertoire, if I could call it that, to kind of use a French word, no pun intended. And then in school started to learn English and actually wanted to go to university, and I ended up actually here at Utah State University. Go Aggies! And really expanded, you know, just got involved there. And as I was going to school, I began doing language tutoring for the language programs at the university. There was a local fitness company here in the state that's very prominently located in Cache Valley, and they required freelance translators, so that's how I started to get into it. And then they brought me in-house to develop their localization group. And so from there, just kind of, you know, one thing led to another, and just got into involved for more project management, and have been ingrained in the industry ever since. So it's just been a steady ascending situation over the last 25 years or so.
That's an amazing a history of experiences and languages. So are you a world traveler?
You know, I have been more settled over the last 10 years as I've been, of course, as I've grown roots here in Utah, as I've, I got married and I have children as well. But I have definitely traveled a good vast area of Europe, obviously. I had the chance a number of years ago to go to Russia. One of my highlights probably my career was actually go to Singapore, which is a fantastic place. So am I a world traveler? I guess it all depends on the definition, but I've definitely seen my share of areas, let's put it that way.
Well, and part of this is, you know, and I know in what language stands for this, is this unifying of cultures.
Yes.
This ability to bring people from different areas together and being able to communicate. Tell me a little bit about maybe an experience that stands out to you where you like, wow, that made a huge difference.
Oh, that's, yeah, I mean, I can even draw that from my experiences, actually, when it comes to that, when it brings cultures together. We have, in Holland, we have a saying, I won't say it in Dutch, because most people won't get it if they're listening in, but we have a saying in Holland, is like, you can never travel anywhere without, you know, encountering a Dutch guy or a Dutch person. And it's very true. No matter where I've been, the national parks here in the state of Utah, or where I've been in Singapore, or have been in Russia, I've been in France, been in Germany, wherever it may be, I've always encountered, you know, cross-cultural people. And that is, to be able to bond automatically and very, very efficiently on language base is essential, because it makes them feel comfortable. It makes them feel, you know, that they belong, and that a certain barrier of entry has been eliminated. And that makes it feel very, very, very comfortable to address people. So language can be a cultural barrier, but language can also be a very much a cultural barrier remover,
right,
if you can relate to that level.
That's fantastic. So since you did date yourself, I did not, what's your favorite 90s jam?
Ooh, no, I got to go to the 80s.
All right.
Sorry.
Take us back even further, Maurice.
80s is my 80s is my jam. Boy, I would have to say that one of my top lists back in the 80s was definitely Phil Collins.
Okay.
Very, very well. Even the group Wham, that really kind of dates, right? We're talking George Michael now.
Yeah.
But, you know, those kind of types of music, even Madonna, that's when I thought Madonna was good. Sorry to any Madonna fans out there, but that's when I thought she was good.
Yeah.
So I really like that kind of stuff still.
I think those three would sit well with me, too, as an 80s jam follower. So, you know, what is the best advice that you've ever been given from a business leader?
The best advice I've gotten from a business leader?
Yes.
Never stop learning.
Wow.
We have, you know, I think it's kind of funny. We have in our school mentality that, you know, young on, you can learn, and then you go to high school and it becomes more difficult to learn, and you go to college, and it kind of seems like college is the end kind of phase of learning, and then you get your degree and then it's over. No, you never stop learning. I definitely learned that lesson. There's nothing new that somebody cannot pick up, even when they're 90.
That's great. Well, that's great advice, and I think that that's important. I think learning languages is important, too, as you engage with people all around the world, and you need that specialization. I had somebody come up to me and said their daughter wants to be a translator. What advice do you have for them, that for people that want to become translators?
Sure. Well, go immerse yourself. That's the best way to do it. We have a colleague who actually is a big old shout out to Lindsay. That's our colleague. She went to University of Florida and graduated with a degree in Chinese, and has had a chance after working with us for about a year and a half as a project manager to re-immerse herself by going to Peking University in China for a whole year. So we encourage that. So that's where she's at. She is just spending a whole year there working. And is they still able to offer some local presence for us. So it's a win-win. It, those kind of things, it's what you have to accomplish. You have to completely immerse yourself into culture, into knowledge, so that you can absorb and really learn from the local area.
That's great advice. All right, last thing. You are dealing with constant deadlines.
Yeah,
huge amount of pressure. Deliver projects on time, deliver projects that meet quality standards. But of all of that, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? That we provide the best service we possibly can for our customers. Problems will always arise, stumbling blocks will always be there. But just the mere fact that we know that we've done the absolute possible best and fulfilled their needs is the primary thing that keeps me up. If we fall short, then we stay up and do it, make sure it's right.
That's fantastic. Well, Maurice, thanks for joining us today on the Global Growth Podcast here broadcasting live at Silicon Slope Summit 2018. And we appreciate you stopping by. And great
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jamie.
Enjoy the show.
He said he's coming back, that guy that was here.
So we're here at Silicon Slopes Technology Summit 2018. We've got a lot of people here trying to network, learn about the new technologies that are being developed, broadening their global presence out into the world, finding ways in which to reach a much broader audience. So we've been able to help people in some of those conversations. One thing that's great about Inuit language is that they are great advisors, not just helping people with the actual service of translation and localization, making sure that all the content is accurately translated, but they help advise companies in how to reach that global audience. So we're going to be conducting a series of additional interviews here at Inuit Language booth at booth 32 in the Partner Pavilion. So stop on by and let's go live. It's Jamie over here at Global Growth Podcast. Thank you.